Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 13. If you find that, then you can also turn to Leviticus chapter 12. That'll be verse 8. So from Exodus chapter 13, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the firstborn offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me." And in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8. Or I'm going to start with verse 8, or verse 6 of Leviticus 12. "When the days of her purification are completed, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. She shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, whether a male or female. If she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean." And then finally, to Luke chapter 2. Beginning with verse 21. "And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came to the temple into the Spirit, or he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. When he took the baby into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel.' And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, we want to understand what was being said through Simeon in these words. We ask your blessing upon us and the clarity of mind that we might understand what you have for us in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. It's interesting, as we read and look in the book of Luke, we see that Luke gives the clearest, most detailed description of the birth of Jesus and the accompanying events. And you must remember this. Let's go into this with the right mindset. Luke begins his gospel saying, reminding us in verse 3, I'm going to read the first couple of verses of the book of Luke. "Inasmuch as many undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught." I love the introduction to the book of Luke there. When Luke says, hey Theophilus, I'm going to write down all this stuff from you. I've done the interviewing. I've talked to Mary. I've talked to Peter. I have all this information. And I'm going to write this down to you in the right order so that you might know what really happened. Luke tells his reader, Theophilus, that he has investigated everything very carefully and written it all out so that you might know the exact truth. What really happened on that Christmas morning? What really happened in the subsequent weeks? Luke said, I've investigated it. I know it. I know what really happened. Here's the truth. So not only was this the inspired Word of God, written by the finger of God, but it was also the words of men, written by a man who did really good, tough, investigative work to come up with the exact truth. I'm not going to do any ad-libbing. I'm not going to add any additional information. Here it is, Theophilus. This is what really happened. And so we find the Gospels put in great detail. And Luke gives great detail about the birth of Jesus. And he gives this marvelous story of what happens 40 days after the birth of Jesus, with the story about the birth and about what Jesus had come into the world to do. So here is a factual account. Make certain this is no fairy tale, but solid truth, and all of our hope is built upon truth. So here, we want to find out what happened in the temple that day, so that you too might understand, like Simeon, who this Christ was and what he did. So here, following the 40 days of the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph were following the law as put forth in Leviticus and Exodus to offer the appropriate sacrifices for the baby Jesus. So here into the temple comes this poor carpenter. And as we read through these passages, you saw that if they were wealthy, they were going to bring a lamb. But if he couldn't afford a lamb, two turtle doves or two pigeons will do. So Mary and Joseph come to the temple that day, probably with two pigeons and two turtle doves, to offer a sacrifice according to the law. This was a very common sight. A poor carpenter, his young wife, and their baby. Nothing really significant. Guess what? There was no halo over Jesus that morning as he came into the temple. Nothing out of the ordinary was really occurring. But it so happens that God led at that very same day, on that very same moment, a man who it says was filled with the Spirit of God. A man who had been awaiting the Lord Jesus, had been waiting for the Messiah, was there that very morning, as he'd probably been other days. We don't know that. But the Spirit led this Spirit-filled, Spirit-led man to the temple that morning. This man who had studied the Scriptures. He knew the signs of the times. More than that, the text tells us that God had revealed to him through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the spirit of this man, Simeon, that he was going to be alive when the Messiah came. Now, we know all about the crackpots are out there saying, well, here's the Christ, or the world's going to end on this day, and so forth. And there might have been some people that were thinking that of Simeon. More likely, though, this was a man who in his great wisdom said, I know it's going to happen. God has revealed to me, and I'm not going to tell anybody else except maybe my wife. Maybe one or two other close friends. He was not out there to boast and say, God's told me all this special stuff, folks. I'm going to see the Messiah. He was probably a humble man who was faithful to God, living by his Spirit, coming to the temple, knowing that sometime this would happen. So he is a man, an older man of great hope, that the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, would come in his lifetime. You see, and if Simeon had been relying, this is what you have to know, he was relying on divine power for this, because if he were relying upon human power, he would, and natural powers, he would have missed Jesus. Because if he was relying on natural powers, he would have been looking for some sort of royal procession coming into the temple. He would have been looking for the circumstances that surrounded the child of the king. The high priest and the Sanhedrin would be following and swarming all over the temple. But this was just a normal day in the temple. And this just looked like any other family coming to bring their firstborn son to the temple. And then God's Spirit speaks to Simeon and says, Simeon, this is the one. This little baby in the hands of this carpenter. This is the one. This is the one I told you about. This is the one you're waiting for. This is the chosen one of Israel. And instead of saying, oh, come on now, Holy Spirit. Not this baby with these two poor parents here. This isn't any king. Instead, Simeon knows. He knows the Scriptures. He knows the voice of God. So what does he do? He comes and takes the baby into his own arms. And he looks heavenward and exclaims this marvelous prophetic words. I can now die happy. I can die happy. God has fulfilled his word to me. And I have seen the one I have waited for. My eyes have seen your salvation, O God. How funny, anybody else there might have thought, crazy old man's at it again. But no, he was right. So Simeon, blessed is this child, the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. You see, ultimately it comes down to this. Only God can really reveal to us who Jesus is. It is only by the working of God that we know who this was. It is the work of God into the heart of Simeon, just as it is the work of God into your heart that allows you to testify, this is the Messiah. This is the Anointed One. This is the Chosen One of Israel. You see, at some point in the life of Jesus, as he's beginning his ministry in Matthew 16, for instance, he asked this most important question of his disciples. Who do you guys think I really am? Who do you say that I am? You know, by the way, probably the most important question anybody can ever ask you. Who is he? Who do you say I am, says Jesus. And in a sense, Simeon is there that morning. He's being asked, who is this? Who is this? Peter gave the correct answer when the disciples were asked this question. He said, who is it? This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. And what does he add to that? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Just as the Father in heaven had revealed to Simeon that this was the Christ, just as the Father in heaven has revealed to you, this is the Christ. In other words, you have to just get it. And so it shouldn't surprise us that we live in a society that is finally where we are finding more and more opposition to Christmas, because most of the important issue of Christmas is, who is this being born? Who are we talking about? Who is this baby? And the answer is, he is the Sovereign Lord. He is the King of the universe. He is the light of the world, the light of the Gentiles. He is the glory of Israel. And the most important issue of Christmas is for us to have the eyes that see what Simeon saw. Do we get it? That God had revealed to Simeon that Jesus was the consolation of Israel. Isn't that, think about that. When are you consoled? What does it mean to be consoled? Simeon is waiting for the peace of Israel, the comfort of Israel, to find relief for his soul. And here, the consolation of Israel has come in Jesus. We often don't think of that term related to him. Here is the consolation. It is the comfort that we are given, the peace that we are given. He is the light of the world, in that he is, God has prepared his salvation for this. And we find in verse 31 that there is a preparation to all this. God had a plan. It didn't just happen, that God had a plan to bring salvation through Israel to the world. And Simeon sees this whole plan beginning to unfold. The glory of Israel that will be a light to the nations, to us, to you and to me. We find in Romans 11, Paul writes about how God uses the rejection of the Christ by Israel to open the gospel of the world, the light of a revelation to the Gentiles. He serves as the glory of Israel, fulfilling God's many promises to bring a Savior through Israel. So now Simeon, after he gives this prophecy, he says to Mary and Joseph, who are standing there with jaws dropped. You see, Mary and Joseph, a few weeks before this, about 2 months before this or so, had all sorts of things happen in their lives. But probably by now they were beginning to say, what does this all mean? What's going on? And now here, 40 days after the birth of Jesus, all their dreams come true. They have what, in a sense, what Simeon is doing is giving to Mary and Joseph a confirmation of everything that had happened 40 days earlier. That others know this, that have heard about it directly from God. So they are amazed at the things that are being said in verse 33 about him. You'd think after having visitation by angels, and then having shepherds and all the events that occurred at the birth of Jesus, then nothing would surprise them now. But here they were amazed, overwhelmed, struck by this event. And they are told that the child is appointed. He is anointed. He is appointed. He is christened. He is appointed for the rise and the fall of men. In other words, this one who has come to divide the world. Between those who answer the question, who is this, correctly, and those who don't know and don't understand, just as it divides our society. There should be no surprise to in your mind that people in our society want to drive the Christ out of Christmas. Why is that? He brought a sword to divide. There is no neutrality. There is no standing in the middle. What we find here is those who oppose him will fall in judgment, and that those who accept him will rise in salvation. He will expose the inner hostility of those who oppose him. What does Christmas do to men? It rises or causes the opposition or inner hostility of those who oppose Jesus to come to the surface. And Simeon even here tells Mary that your own soul will suffer anguish over this in verse 35, as a sword will pierce her soul. To conclude this morning, we should recognize again that there is no neutrality about Jesus, not then and not now. He draws a line in the sand and demands that you take sides. Should hostility toward Christmas surprise us in a post-Christian society? No, it should never. Either one acknowledges Jesus as God's Christ and submits to his lordship and rises in salvation, or one falls in judgment. It all depends on how you answer the question, who do you say that I am, that Jesus asks. Know who he is and trust who he is. For Mary and Joseph, they have received the confirmation that day. they begin to get it. It grows on them. But Simeon has already got it. He knows it. He sees the true life and true hope centered on the baby Jesus. He doesn't possess genius powers or deep abilities of perception. He is no smarter than you and I. But he sees what God is doing. He sees God's salvation and he does so by faith. And it even says in verses 29 and 30, "Now I can die. Let me depart in peace, for I've seen your salvation." Tradition has it that Simeon didn't die right away, that he lived a long, long time after this. But he was ready to die. And that's what we're called to do, to confess him so that we're ready to die. You know how close I've come to death? I'm ready to die. But if Simeon, like Simeon, God decides to give me a many, many more years, I will gladly take them. But are we ready to die? Simeon was. Why? Because in a sense we all are once we know who Jesus is and make that acknowledgement. Again, there was no halo, no parades of dignitaries marching behind them. All that Simeon had was God's Word and the Spirit's revelation, and he trusted them. Here's the lesson that Simeon learns and teaches. We rest in the Christ who has come. We find the consolation of Israel. And we find the power of Christ as we dedicate ourselves to love and follow him. And like Simeon, then we are ready to depart this world in peace. If you understand and believe that Jesus is the only hope of salvation, then we are invited by faith to God's salvation. This morning, we celebrate that by coming to the Lord's table. You are invited to the table of the Lord. And in a sense, what you are doing by coming to the table of the Lord is you're saying, I believe what Simeon believed. I believe what Peter confessed. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has come into the world as the light to the Gentiles and as the glory of Israel. And as we take the table of the Lord, as we take the bread and we take the drink, we are saying what Simeon said, what Peter said. We are confessing our Christ. We are confessing that this ain't a normal little baby being born. This is the light of the world, the King of the world, the King of the universe. Let us learn to live in dependence upon God and His Spirit as Simeon did, recognizing that there is no neutrality about the baby born in Bethlehem. He truly is the hope and the light of the world. Amen. Lord Jesus, this morning we come to your table confessing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the One who rescues us. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon us that by faith as we come, we acknowledge your greatness in our midst. As we come also, Lord, we also ask that you bless these elements, bless the bread and the cup for your glory. In the holy, blameless, righteous name of King Jesus, we pray. Lord, we bless your name. Amen.